Hey, America.
Start listening now.
You know, during this preview show, we're doing a little throwback to 2017. You know, the world was extremely different back then. You know, there was a total solar eclipse in the U.S. You know, Zuckerberg and Musk were fighting over AI. It was totally different. Chris Kostov was everywhere, inescapable. It's not like today. It's not like things are today. Roll it, Derek.
And welcome to another seven-year-old episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the country that is, oh gosh, what's a good term? A beautiful mess, perhaps. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Danny.
Foreshadowing.
The bluntest.
I know. We're going to get a little bit more into the incredibly special guests that we've got here today, but I'm just too excited to hold off. We are being joined today by none other than Chris Kostov.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Man, myth, legend. I mean, you don't need any introduction, but to any real newcomers to Eurovision who aren't familiar with who you are and what you've done, we are talking to and being joined by the incredible talent that is Bulgaria's entrant from the 2017 Eurovision Song Contest. Derek and I had the absolute pleasure of working with you on your delegation and being beside you for at least part of your journey. And it's been too damn long since we chatted last, and we're so happy that you are with us here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Also, I find it very interesting how I'm actually in the US right now, and we're chatting. I mean, that's basically like Zoom, but not really. But I'm in the US, so we could kind of meet. Should I just fly over and we could like do another proper interview with me at your place?
Absolutely.
And Derek also. Thank you guys for having me again. It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to talk Eurovision and music and life and anything. Wow. Yeah, the world was different back then. I mean, COVID alone, right? That was 2020. So that was 3 years after my Eurovision performance. So that changed everything, basically, for all of us. I hope you guys are doing well. And like, we have already moved on from that and we have a lot of other things on our plates. But yeah, that was a scary thing to go through.
It was. Hopefully, we're still happy and healthy, the five of us here. But it's just so wonderful and surreal to chat with you after so much time. You have obviously grown as an artist since we last chatted. Let's look a little bit at the past here. When you look back on your experience back in Kyiv in 2017, what were some of your favorite moments and your favorite memories of that time? I know it was crazy and hectic and stressful, but there were moments of joy too. What are some highlights?
I would love to say everything, the good and the bad, more of the good, obviously. But if I would have to go back and give myself a proper, slap on the cheek and say some comments about what is going to happen to young Christian's life after this day, right? I would just say enjoy it more. I wish I could enjoy it more because I was so stressed. I wanted to win so bad. I think it's something about the Bulgarian mentality where from young age, we're taught that we have to be the best or we lost. So second place, being a runner-up, is an amazing achievement. Not many people can say that they've done this. And if you look at my semifinal, I think I won the semifinal by voting. So,
oh yeah,
that's awesome. That's great. And I was only 17 years old when that happened. For me, that was a loss. So I thought that I didn't do my job justice. And now looking back at it, I did amazing. I'm very proud of myself, of baby Chris. But speaking about good moments, I think the best thing was seeing how all of my best friends found time in their busy schedules to fly to Kyiv just to be with me. Actually, so many people came to Kyiv just to be with me, even for a day, for a few hours, some of them, just to hug me and say that they're with me. They truly meant it, not by words, but by their actions. So these moments were my favorite. Also, the quiet before the storm, seconds before going on stage, were very magical. I'm not going to lie to you. I was my pants when I was there about to go on stage. I remember I was counting the tiles on the floor of the stage while I was walking because I needed something to therapeutic for me to like calm myself down. There are thousands of people screaming at me, getting ready for my performance. That was really scary, but I tried to ground myself. And yeah, the best moments were family. Hardest moments were me getting sick. I was very sick. I think it's because of my, I was too anxious I didn't even know about anxiety back then. I wasn't in therapy, so I couldn't really navigate my emotions fully. So I had bad fever. I couldn't eat. I lost, like, I don't know pounds, but I lost like 5 or 7 kilograms after these 2 weeks. And I was eating. So sometimes I wasn't. But yeah, I lost a lot of weight. And for me, that's a bad thing because I have some form of, you know, problems with food and with my weight. So that was very, very bad. I had to go see some doctors after that. But best moments just overshadow everything. So the good always wins when it comes to my work experience somehow. Thank God.
Yeah.
Chris, I double checked for the record. You did win your semifinal,
okay.
And you did it with 403 points,
okay.
which is nice. the highest semifinal score in Eurovision history.
Yeah.
But higher than I mean, Tattoo, Cha Cha Cha, anything. It is
wow.
Number one. So
wow,
you did.
Oh, wow,
it.
That's yeah. An honor. Okay, so in a way, I won. Somehow.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's great. But honestly speaking, gonna just have a little moment and say, Salvador, to me, I think many people deserve to win that year, but we cannot deny the power and greatness of Salvador. He is truly, truly phenomenal. And I was kind of mad at him back then. My 17-year-old self, I was like, you are old. He don't need this. I have a whole career ahead of me. I would lie if I would say that I was 100% happy for him. No, of course I wasn't. Back then, I was not. I was like, I wanted to win so bad. But I was a baby. I was 17. I was a child. I haven't even finished my high school back then.
I
came back home and I finished my exams after that. I finished high school after Eurovision. So I was a child. But anyways, I'm so happy for Salvador. He did an amazing job. He was so fine, so good. The song is phenomenal. I still listen to it. He was great. I love the guy. He was awesome. Always kind, always sweet. And yeah, I truly think that Portugal deserved this victory and that everything happens for a reason. So I'm glad I got the second place. That was good enough for me. I might be back. I don't know. I want to come back.
We have to get the Bulgarian delegation back because they're not currently participating at the contest.
Yeah, I think if I ask them, they will agree, kind of. I think I have the authority.
Bring
I'll co-sign that if you need.
Hey, you know, and you know for a fact, if you need another assistant head of press, I'm right there for you.
Oh, you're on.
Sam, I thought you were going to say, you know, there's always the option of, you know, San Marino's always looking.
No, no.
We will talk about San Marino. We will talk about San Marino.
I have a few other options too.
Ooh.
Not only San Marino. Some other countries asked me if I would want to represent their country, which I kindly declined. I kindly declined the offer because I cannot go to Eurovision and not represent Bulgaria. It just goes against my.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't do it. Yeah. I can't
That's
do it. They even,
yeah.
even, I'm not saying the country's right. So some people even offered me a good amount of money, like good amount of money to do it. And I had the option to write the song. So I was going to write the song and I was going to get paid and I was going to represent the country. And I still declined because I can't do it. It's not about money. It's about representing your country. I mean, I don't mind that. It's just my personal preference. Again, never say never. Some things might change, but it's never about money. It's about how I feel in the moment. So.
Right. So since 2017, you've actually had a couple of opportunities to take Beautiful Mess and make it your own a couple of times now. You appeared on a reality, a singing competition in China,
yeah.
and you were able to adapt it to sort of a Chinese market.
Yeah.
And then more recently, you kind of took it and really made it your own with the style and the aesthetic that you have as an artist now that you have a bit more creative control.
Yeah.
What is that process like going back to a song that you are so connected to, but you weren't necessarily one of the songwriters and really kind of morphing it into this is really mine? What was that like for you?
I wasn't really a writer back then in 2017. So I looked at different options and opportunities where I could grow and learn and become a better songwriter because I felt like I have a lot of stories to tell coming from, I would say, a rich background when it comes to culture because half of my family are from Kazakhstan. So it's like half Asian, but also half Muslim family with a Christian family, Bulgarian side of me. I was born in Moscow, then I moved. I have a lot of stories to tell, good and bad. So I wanted to learn how to show my perspective on things and how I see this world, but I couldn't really do it justice. And I'm such a perfectionist that I thought I couldn't really write music. Now I have hundreds of songs written for other artists for me, and I still couldn't really change Beautiful Mess when I did it again recently a few months back, because I love the song so much and I appreciate it the way it is. So I basically stripped it down rather than added more, because the lyrics speak they speak louder than anything that I could add, so I didn't feel like changing anything there. The production, I just wanted to strip it down because this is how I feel the music of the song right now. But China was super fun because they invited me because of Eurovision. They saw me on Eurovision and they waited for me to turn 18 to invite me to the show. And then one day I just got an email and I thought it was a joke at first. Yeah. And then they wanted me to have the first performance being Beautiful Mess, but they needed a longer version. They needed like almost 5 minutes long version because their show is different. While Eurovision asked me to shorten this the song because it was 3 minutes 40 seconds long,
mm-hmm.
or 3 minutes 30 seconds. I don't remember.
I've got I've got a demo of it somewhere, and it's somewhere like that. Yeah,
it was a bit longer. I'm surprised to have the demo. I don't even have the demo. I don't know.
I have a couple old versions of it, but yeah.
That's
Vasily, for those of you who are listening, the former head of press of the delegation, you were kind of refining it down, I heard a couple versions of it for you.
So. That's interesting. Yeah. So yeah, but then China asked me to make the longer version of the song, and we did with my brother and our best friend. So that was fun. China as a whole was a very fun and eye-opening experience. I felt so appreciated and seen and loved. Not like I wasn't before that, but it was on a whole nother level. I think it was the first time where I felt like a celebrity, if I may. Because it felt so weird because people treated me differently there. While in Europe, I am very known in Bulgaria. That's a fact. That's just a fact. I'm very known in Bulgaria. Everywhere I go, people are like, oh, hi. How are you doing, Chris? There you go. I didn't just take your coffee. You don't need to pay anything. Like, you know, they're very kind to me. They're very open.
Sweet.
Like, everyone knows me and they're all like, they treat me like their neighbor or something. And it's not necessarily like there's no distance. But when I was in China, they had this sort of respect for me as an artist. And it all started from Beautiful Mess again. So I sang the song on the first episode. And that song truly changed me and my life. The amount of good things that happened to me thanks to the song is uncountable. So I'm in a way sad that I wasn't the one writing it.
Whether your name is on the credits of a songwriter or not, it's yours. It's yours. And it's part of your story. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that way. I feel like I haven't heard a single version that felt like they made the song theirs. And I kind of feel like I claimed the song, and I've heard so many covers of it and I love them. They were technically good, but somehow I just even feel like when I listen to my own version, it's as if it's not me singing, as if I'm a listener and I'm listening to the song. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a weird experience when I'm listening to this one.
Something I've really appreciated about your catalog since then is you kind of have almost two different versions of yourself that you're now marketing. There's Chris Kostov, and then you also have this other project, Vostok, which, how do you know whether a song is destined for release under the name Chris Kostov versus Vostok? How do you write differently for those alter egos, or?
I would say Vostok is more alt pop, because it's still pop music. I cannot say that it's not pop music. I cannot say that it's alternative, it's indie. No, it's not. It's very pop. It's very radio friendly. Some of them, not all of them, some of them are. I'm really sad that you haven't heard my unreleased stuff, because I think I have like 40 songs ready, maybe 50. So
I can't send them over.
I can't really express how I feel as a writer and as a producer, as a singer, even as an artist, because you don't really know who I am today because you haven't listened to the songs.
Mm.
In LA recently, I wrote like 7 or 6 songs in a week. And they're all different because some of them are for sale for Asian markets, for like Korea, China, Japan. Some of them are potentially for me. Some of them are potentially for Vostok, because I never know. It all comes down to me talking to my brother and our best friend, Alexander Human, because Vostok is a group of consistent of me, my brother, and Daniel Kostov, and our friend Alexander Zanov. We call him Human, Alexander Human. That's his artist name.
Mm-hmm.
And I just share the music with them, and if they like the song and they want to give their touch to it, we just release it as a trio, as Vostok. So if they don't want it, I'll just release it as my own, and if they do want it, we will release it together. So it's all if they have something to add to material, then it's Vostok. And if it works with our whole universe that we've built, because every time we release a song, we think about the potential IP, how it can tie with the story of the IP that we wrote, because we have a whole like storyboards and all that. Like we have some animation, all that. We just didn't release it because it was for fun and for us. It wasn't really for monetization or anything. We just did it because we can. We're creators. We want to create and
the expanded Vostok universe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we just created our own universe. It's like a spaceship with a whole lore. Like, it's like a book. And we always constantly add to it. We have, like, a chat where we talk about it. So we constantly add to the narrative and to the story of this universe. So every time we release a song, we need to work out the story of it. And if it connects, then we release it.
Very cool. So as we start to look at the songs that we're going to discuss for today's show,
yeah,
when you are listening to music as just a consumer of music, what are some of the things that catch your ear? Like what entices you musically? What excites you? What gets you pumped when you're listening to music as for the pure sake of enjoyment rather than from a production standpoint?
I can't really do that.
Okay, fair, fair.
I think I'm a castrated listener, if I may.
Okay.
I don't know how to describe it. I don't listen to music. If you look at Spotify Wrapped, I have 10,000 minutes a year. Well, or maybe 9,000. My most streamed song, I listen to it 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the one song that I listen to most amount of times a year was 10 times. Maybe like 12.
Yeah.
And it feels like I listen to it hundreds of times. Because every time I listen to a song, I have like this project opened in my head and I see all the layers of vocals, all the layers of the rhythm section, all the layers of production, all the automations, all that. And then if I listen to a song, I deconstruct it in my head every time. I cannot not do it. I can't not do it. Every time I listen to something, I listen to it like this. And then after listening to the song, I play it in my head like 20, 30 times again. So I feel like I've listened to the song many, many times, multiple times, when in reality, I only listen to it like two times once. And then I have this project in my head that I can always come back to. Yeah, so I can't really listen to music as sort of enjoyment. I basically do that in a car with friends. If I'm alone, I would much rather prefer listening to a podcast. Maybe like Letterman or I don't know. I listen to The Daily a lot too. So I try to change things that I'm listening to. But I do enjoy music like Ray, like Oscar winning Tears. That song is amazing, unbelievable. She deserved all the Brit Awards, all of that. I'm not sure if she got the Grammy. I think she did. I'm not sure. Or they haven't happened yet. I don't know. I don't remember. But Ray, do you know her?
By name.
R-A-Y-E.
R-A-Y-E.
Rings a bell.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
She's amazing. Her album is greatness. It's just amazing. Justin Timberlake's latest album is really good. I'm a fan of Ariana Grande, which makes me a very typical pop person.
I think that just makes you human, honestly.
Her latest album wasn't really my vibe, but now listening to it a few times on the radio here in the US, I kind of vibe with a few songs from the album. But yeah, I just like, I don't know, James Blake is something that I can, because I cannot deconstruct James Blake. He's too good. I can't. When I listen to him, I don't really know what's happening. Radiohead, also another unbelievable group that I cannot deconstruct. I just can purely enjoy it. But other than that, I can't really listen to music as a source of enjoyment. I don't do it.
Okay. Do we think that we are ready to kind of launch into our six songs that we're going to discuss
Absolutely.
Today?
Absolutely. Let's
yeah.
All right. So we are in this episode going to discuss Albania, Italy, Portugal, San Marino, as we kind of teased before, Finland. And we are going to start this off with Lithuania. This is the final of the three Baltic states to have not won Eurovision quite yet. But will Sylvester Belt take it with Luktelk? Derek, roll us a clip. Salina pakyla, pasakyk, ar liksi šalia. All right, that was a snippet of Luktelk by Sylvester Belt from Lithuania. He's 26 years old from Kaunas, but he was also educated at the University of Westminster in London. He, funny enough, he took part in the Junior Eurovision selection for Lithuania back in 2010 and was the winner of the reality show As Superhitas in 2017, took part in X Factor in Lithuania as well. But really, this is more of one of his recent breakout here. He will be performing in semifinal one, sandwiched in between Serbia and Ireland. Chris, as our honored guest, do you want to take the first crack? What do you think of Luktelk from Lithuania this year?
Absolutely. So his name is Sylvester, right?
Sylvester Belt. It's that's sort of the anglicized version of his name. I think his actual Lithuanian name is something like Silvestras Belte or something like that.
Okay. Luktelk is, I find the performance, because I haven't seen the music video, I don't know if it's out yet or not. I've seen his live performance on in Lithuania, right? I truly believe that this song is going to make it to the finals, just because I think it's, I would start off by saying that I wouldn't listen to it personally. It's not the type of music that I listen to, if I listen to music at all. I think the fact that he is this young, gorgeous, stylish artist who, his song is very radio friendly too, in my opinion. I like the drop in the chorus. I like how he's very dreamy in the verses, and I like the choreography, but I didn't like the camera work from Lithuania's side of things. So I hope that in Malmo they're gonna step that up. I think he has potential to make it to the finals. I like him. Not a huge fan of the song, but I'm sure that people are gonna love it.
Danny, what do you think?
To start things out very nicely by saying that I agree with almost all of that. I was the only one here when we just sort of went through like a real quick rundown when the semifinal running order was announced, who we thought was just sort of like a sure bet to go through. And I was the only one who didn't give a little vote to Lithuania. I will say that I am softening much more in the song. I think I like and appreciate the song a bit more than I did even just a week ago. Mm-hmm. But I have to agree that the national final performance, I feel like the staging that we have right now is kind of doing this song a little bit of a disservice. It feels very busy on stage for a song that just sort of feels very, at least at the beginning, like very that sparse electronic sound. This doesn't have like a huge, I don't know, a huge hook to me. It doesn't get me right away, but it does have a laid back feel that I agree sort of suits itself more to being like your favorite track on his album rather than a great Eurovision song.
Yeah, I think people are going to like the song. I think they're going to vibe with it, especially...
It is. I believe when we first, like when we gave a one word reaction, a lot of us were like, you know, this is a vibe. This is a
mood.
Yeah,
vibe. Yeah,
this song is a vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can agree with that. I can agree with, you know, getting a nice, it gives me another vibe song that we talk about all the time is Slovenia's song Sebi from 2019.
Yes.
It's like, this is a little, this is, has a much more energy than that, you know, and it's being sung by someone who's got that, you know, Gen Z uncooked ramen hair that they all love so much.
I love it. But... It's so nice. I always wanted that hair. I can't do it.
That song doesn't go. That song didn't go through. I think this song has a much better shot. I'll just say, like, I like this song. I like it much better than I did in the recent past. But I. It just doesn't have that, you know, in a Eurovision song, you're always looking for that, sort of a posturing for a win. This doesn't have that. And I think for a lot of people, that is what they will enjoy most about it.
Yeah, I agree.
Eric?
What's up? Luktelk. Yeah. I'm kind of in a similar boat. I know how much people really love this. We talk sometimes about like the my top 56 rankings or whatever they are. And
no, the people who love this song love it. Huge.
This tends to do very well on those. I've seen at least one or two that have it number one. That seems a little crazy to me. I have a heart. It's for better or worse, it's such a simple song.
At least
musically, it's so straightforward. What it does very well. But I don't quite get the hype, I guess. That is going to be a recurring theme in this episode from yours truly, actually.
Is he a fan favorite? Because I don't know anything about this year's
I said, the people who love him hard, you know? He has real diehards.
Fan base, basically.
Not a huge favorite, but people really like this.
Yeah, the general reaction to this one is pretty positive, yeah.
That's good. That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to dislike, I guess, but unfortunately that means... There's not much to podcast about. I will note, I did have one note. I rewatched the national final performance, and one of my least favorite things in the world is when you're watching or in the audience for a live performance and the crowd is clapping along, but the crowd is clapping at the wrong tempo.
I was hoping no one's gonna bring that up.
Oh no. Of all the things.
That's all of our listeners out there who like had to play Stars and Stripes Forever in high school band, and every grandma out in the auditorium stands is clapping at their own tempo. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. The live performance of this on the official Eurovision site has a crowd. Lithuania, I love you, but you gotta work on that. It's you're going too fast, and you're gonna you're either gonna throw them off or you're gonna sound like you don't know what you're doing. And guess which one it was. So that's all. That was the worst part of the video for me, is the crowd clearly super super into it, but they're a little too into it because they're going too fast. Anyway, Luktelk is fine. Sam, what do you think?
No, I mean my thoughts aren't too far away. It's a vibe. It's chill, but it's energetic at the same time. For me, this feels great when I'm listening to it. When I move on to the next song, is it going to be remembered? It doesn't really have that sort of climactic moment. It just doesn't really build. It kind of just stays in one gear. It's a good gear. Like when I'm at Euro Club and that's just like thumping in the background and I'm having, you know, dancing or like having a conversation with somebody while my drink is, you know, in my hand. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Is it going to get people voting for it? Especially considering that it is going to be immediately followed by a song that is very divisive. It's Ireland that follows this one. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So is it too chill and it's going to be forgotten about after the what the hell is that that follows it? But I don't know. As for its song on its own merits, I really like it. I'm, you know, happy to have this playing in my car as I'm driving around. I'm down with this. I'm totally down with this. But are we going to Vilnius next year? Probably not. Will this make Lithuania proud? I'm pretty sure they will. Derek, what do you think?
I mean, we have a fairly good collection of songs that are more mellow, kind of background music, I would almost call it. And not in an insulting way, but you know, you don't want music to take up all of your attention all the time. I feel like this is kind of a step up in terms of like energy in some of the other ones, as opposed to Last Night by Carnival.
Oh, yeah.
Which was just like coffee shop mellow music. And this, it feels like, yeah, like this would be in a like a club, but not a club where the music is so loud you can't hear yourself talk.
It's a club for older people like us.
Hey.
I'm ancient.
You're not that old. Stop it.
I'm pushing 40, hon.
40 is the new 30.
This is why we're friends.
Yeah. Can you stick around and tell us things all the time? It would be really nice.
Could be your personal Tony Robbins.
I know.
Let's see.
I agree that it's a dance floor song, not a stage song.
A dance floor song that kind of...
Pre-parties are going to vibe with it. Again, vibe. Like
I mean, I'd love a whole album of this kind of stuff that I could just put on at the end of the day and just sort of chill with.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great. But I mean, you wouldn't really get excited about a movie that you can fold laundry to, as we kind of often think about. It's like, I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with it, but it doesn't like... We talked about this with Ireland, strangely enough. Like, that's a song that demands your attention and seems tailored for a competition, where this seems tailored for like radio play.
Guys, please send me the Ireland song after we finish.
Oh, absolutely. Just make sure you're sitting down.
Okay, I need to check it out. I need to check it out. I don't know anything about this year's Eurovision aside from Ollie representing the UK, because I'm a fan of Years and Years. And yeah, who isn't?
Yeah,
I'm a fan of Years and Years, and he's a great artist, so I cannot wait to see him perform live. But yeah, I just treat him as a guest star there, not as a...
Only thing I'll say about this, Lithuania's got a really good track record, especially like of the Baltic states, it seemed to be doing pretty consistently well. And I honestly think this can get through. I'm not worried about his chance of qualifying. It might get kind of lost in it on the final, but people consistently in all the reviews and everything I see, people like it. So
nice.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready to roll on to our next song then?
I don't know. I'll just say that this is a good tone to set for the rest of the show, because we have a bunch of countries here that are all about every single year send in their own thing. And like Lithuania, we don't talk a lot about in that aspect, but if you look at just the past couple of maybe last 10 years, Lithuania really is sending stuff that isn't extremely showy, but it's all a pretty good quality. I think Sentimente is such a great quality song, but it's not a show-offy kind of song. And I feel like that's really diagnostic of what Lithuania has been giving us.
Yeah, that was a very different vibe. That was like smoky jazz club vibe.
Yeah.
With the Dorothy Hamill haircut.
And then we get some, you know, Chuto Tuto from last year. They're doing their own thing.
Yep, they are. All right, let's roll on to our second song of the show. Let's talk about Albania, Besa with Titan. Let's hear a little clip of that.
You thought that I would crumble, but I won't. You thought I wouldn't make it out here on my own. You thought you'd see me broken. I'm going strong, still going strong.
All right, so that was a snippet of Titan by Besa Kokedima from Albania. So her song was selected via a public vote at Festival I Këngës, the national final in Albania this year, but it has been revamped. It was translated. It was basically almost an entirely new song. Besa is 37 years old. She's released 4 albums so far. She, interestingly enough, has not only just taken part at Festival I Këngës, she took part in Top Fest, which is another major festival in Albania, as well as the 2009 Romanian national final. She gave that a try as well. She's also served as a coach on The Voice of Albania. This will be in semifinal 2, in song number 2, sandwiched in between Malta and Greece. Danny, looks like it's your turn to start us off. What do you think?
Sure. I think that their decision to go to English here had the exact opposite effect as it did with, you know, it didn't compete in 2020, but A Fall from the Sky did. Now, something was just sort of lost in translation to English, almost literally, when Shy became Fall from the Sky. I feel like this one, it opened it up a lot more. It helps that it went with a revamp that sort of just improved the basic vibe of the song, but it just sort of went, in my opinion, from a song that's your usual Albanian Balkan banger, the old BB for short, into a song that I think has an outside shot at getting through, but it's certainly a better shot than they did before. I think that when she is singing in English, suddenly my ears perked up because I think she sounds exactly like Sia. Her vocal quality is remarkably like when Sia is not belting. They both, she passes for a sound alike for sure. I'm just going to be real. I don't really have a lot of enthusiasm for this song. I've kind of been a slight champion of Balkan bangers in the past, but I don't know if this has a shot in a year that is as supremely stacked as this.
Eric, what do you think?
Well, I agree that I think they did a good job with the revamp / complete redoing.
Stellar.
But. Don't love it.
yes.
It's
you have to appreciate what Albania will and will not do. Like they're not they're not getting songwriters from Sweden. And you
they're not.
You have to respect them.
Yeah, yeah. I don't dislike it at all. It's one that just leaves me a little bit cold, and then kind of what Sam was saying about Luktelk is once something else comes on, I kind of forget like how did that one go again? Something about Thanos, or something. Top. And okay. And yeah, I'm struggling to come up with other quippy or otherwise coherent things to say about the song. It's just not it doesn't do a whole lot for me. It got the death spot in semi 2.
Yeah, it did.
Which is
not as bad in the semifinals as it is in the final. The traditional second place is cursed, but
oh, it's statistically it's pretty bad in the semifinals. I think for a long time spot 3 was even worse. But I think 2 has kind of caught up with it even.
Oh, so dear.
Like aren't they both at like 40% qualification rate?
Well, I mean, I songs overall have like a 60% qualification rate or something like that, right? Mm. Just
not too bad.
Yeah, no spot in the semi is like a complete death sentence or anything, but like this is I feel bad for Albania because I really feel like they get stuck with this sort of thing a lot.
They do.
And some of that is I think because of the songs. They're just a little bit underwhelming sometimes, and they release them so early. And I know Fickmas, legendary. I get it. I know they're not gonna do that differently. But like, can you imagine Albania writing a big popular song from Fickmas all the way to May? Like, it's just, it's really hard to picture that. I'm not even talking about Titan at this point. But like, that's, they're in a tough spot, and that's unfortunate. But I don't know that the song is necessarily spectacular enough to pull them out of that out of that either. Sam, what say ye about Albany? Fiddle dee dee.
I mean, when they said that they were going to be revamping it, which, you know, it's Albania, 9 times out of 10 they do some sort of revamp or translation. Honestly, Aduje was one of the only times that they kept it pretty close to the to what it was. Year's entry. Yeah. I was really very interested to see what how they were going to transform it, because the previous version, the original Albanian language version, was such a classic power ballad that when we heard this version, which started out as the ballad and then kind of picked up a little bit more, and then that last, that final chorus, the tempo just completely is totally different from anything that I'd expected. Part of me was thinking, it's well sung, but what does the song want to be? Is it a ballad? Is it a dance song? Is it, what exactly is it? And I'm not quite sure if I'm totally sold on the complete nutter revamp, bringing in that complete tempo change at the end. I think it kind of overcomplicates it. I also worry that it's, this has nothing to do specifically with the spot too, but just by virtue of it being earlier on in the running order, there's a similar song later on in the semifinal that is dealing with similar themes of strength and empowerment with another big voice. And I worry that Georgia versus Albania is going to be a bit of a battle that they, I don't know if they're going to siphon votes away from each other. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not a bad revamp. It's really not. I think the English translation was done well. Her voice sounds fantastic in either version. It just sounds like it's trying to carry too much in 3 minutes. Derek, what do you think?
I always struggle with Albania because I like it when they keep it in Albanian. And I feel like the audience, to a certain extent, also likes it that way too.
Yeah, I saw many comments about it.
And so often it seems like when they translate it, they kind of, whenever they decide to stay in Albanian, it feels more ethnic. And then when they go to English, it feels more, I don't know, general. Like, I would, if you played this for me, I wouldn't necessarily guess where this was from. And it kind of loses something in that, because I think their identity, their cultural identity, really carries a lot for them. I think it really helps.
Derek, would you say the word compromise fits the bill, perhaps?
Compromised. I was going to say it feels neutered, but compromised is a good word.
Either way.
no, but it makes me sad. It makes me sad when they try to go English and they think it's going to be more appealing, and it ends up just kind of feeling weaker somehow, like less genuine. And I really like the authenticity when that's like, no, this is our thing. This is what we do, and we're going to represent ourselves. And the song, oh gosh, I don't know why, but I just get this old school R&B kind of song feel from it. I don't know why, especially the backing vocals almost have like a choir, like a church choir backing feel. I don't know. That's just what I get from it. I mean, it's bizarre. It does feel like it's trying to do a lot of things and not necessarily gelling. I feel like this one's kind of on the fence. It might still pull it off, but I don't know. It's all right, I guess, is what I'm going to say.
What do you think, Chris?
I want to comment on something that you said about Albania being second on the second semifinal, how that statistically is bad for making it to the finals, right? Mm-hmm. I think it doesn't really matter if the artist is undeniable.
Yes, we definitely have that in the first.
Is undeniable, like just great. It's just great. You cannot fight it. There is no, if we're talking about finals and someone winning, that really matters because the votes there are insane. But making it to the final is very doable if the artist is undeniable. So you can be first, you can be second on the semifinal, but still make it to the finals if you're good enough. Now, do I find this good enough? I feel bad for not knowing the artist, that she was the judge on The Voice.
Yep, in Albania, yeah.
In Albania, yeah, because it didn't seem like it to me. I just didn't, because I watched her live performance and it wasn't really The Voice. The part of being a judge on The Voice, it means that you know how to use it properly and you are really, really good with your vocals. You can't dislike, again, like we talked about Ariana Grande, you can't dislike her, but she knows she can sing. And it doesn't matter what type of microphone or what type of, right? She delivers every time because she's The Voice. Mm. Here, I don't see that. I listened to the studio version first and I felt like she had this strong voice. But then when I watched her live performance that was in another language, I loved Albanian version more because I loved Albanian language. I love Albanian language. I find it very interesting and beautiful. I love English. I sing in English. That's rich coming from me. I'm from Bulgaria and I write in English. Wow. That's rich for me. But I just there's something about Albanian that makes it so interesting to listen to their music. But when I listened to her live version, I did not believe in it. I don't believe in it. I don't think it's gonna make it. It might make it. I'm like, who am I to say it, right? But I don't think it will, just because if she's gonna have the same level of performance in Malmo, like in Eurovision, that's not gonna make it. There are too many other artists that deserve to make it through, and I'm really sorry that she's such a powerhouse vocalist, apparently, because she's a judge in The Voice in Romania, in Albania. Maybe she was better before. Maybe she was lazy. Maybe she felt sick or something. I don't know. But her live performance wasn't good enough for me.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell, you know, any individual live performance. You know, maybe she had a cold that day, or, you know, a million things could happen. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to a live televised competition, mm-hmm. you know, you sometimes have to power through. So
exactly. So I just didn't believe in it. I had to turn it off. And then when I was watching the music video that was in English, that was good. That was beautiful. Her voice mm-hmm. was strong. It was nicely recorded, all of that. But it just lost the magic.
Are we ready to move on to our next song then?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, sorry, Albania. We're sorry.
Well, let's hop over to the other side of the Adriatic for this one, and we will chat about Italy's song next. This is La Noia by Angelina Mango. Derek, play a clip. Non c'è croce più grande, non ci resta che ridere in queste notti bruciate. Una corona di spine sarà il dress code per la mia festa. Ah, è la cumbia della noia. All right, that was a snippet of Italy's entry this year. It's Angelina Mango's La Noia, which just means boredom, basically. She's 23 years old. She's the winner of this year's Sanremo Festival, a very highly fought competition, as always, but she ended up taking the win. She's the daughter of the late Giuseppe Mango, also a very well-known singer in the Italian rock scene. She had her breakthrough as a competitor on Amici di Maria De Filippi, which is a well-known variety and talent program in Italy. Since 2022, she's released two EPs. And of course, this being Italy, we know that this is an automatic qualifier to the grand final. So no semifinals to worry about with on this one. Eric, looks like it is your turn to start us off. What do you think of La Noia?
Pass. No. I think, first of all, I love that there's this big bouncy song about being bored. That's a fun thing to do. I really appreciate that. That out of the way, I'm going to say that there is a ton of hype around this. There's always a ton of hype around Italy, and understandably so. I'm not sure I get it. It feels like, let me put it this way. If this was the song from Greece or Cyprus, would we be talking about it like this? Because I could buy this as a song from one of those countries. It feels very like tropical, Mediterranean, whatever you want to call it. It's really well done. She's great. The performance is great. But I don't quite see the hype. I mean, it had been in the top two or three of the betting odds for a long time. Right now, it's down to third because Switzerland made a huge jump after the pre-party. And it turns out, yep, Nemo can really do that live. So now it's all over. That's the that's the feeling anyway. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, when it comes to La Noia, I see the quality. I don't see the hype. I feel kind of like, is something wrong with me? Like,
no.
Okay. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I get it. I didn't get Dua Vitae at all. And then we saw it on stage, and I watched him sing from like 100 feet away, whatever it was. It was like, ah, I get it now. So maybe it's just going to take, I need to see it up close. I don't know. I'm not sure. Sam, please tell me why I'm wrong.
I mean, again, these are all just all personal opinions. There's no way to be right or wrong, really.
I don't know. I might be wrong about this.
A whole t-shirt about that, I guess.
Yes, but get your Eric was wrong shirts.
Yeah. Eric Chris, is currently in the process of being wrong.
Yeah, Chris, Eric was wrong shirt. I made what I thought was a very reasonable prediction about how Junior was going to go, and I was wrong. So, so we made a shirt to celebrate. Fine. Yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah. This is like nothing that Italy has really sent to the contest in the past. They don't really go for the bouncy summery pop songs. It feels like a lot of their songs tend to have a lot more drama and gravitas and yeah, you kind of know what I mean. You're like they know how to do a ballad. They know how to do, you know, rock, you know, but you don't really see them leaning into pop very much. Upbeat pop anyway.
If I may jump in very quickly, I think that is part of my issue, actually, is it just doesn't feel very Italian.
I mean, it is also in a cumbia style, which is very much I believe cumbia is Colombian originally, but it's taking a lot of Latin American influence. It's very sunny Mediterranean pop as well. So yeah, this is very different from what we normally hear and see from Italy. That being said, I'm not the kind of person who's like out there waving a tricolore and say, yeah, but, you know, we're going to Rome next year. But I do genuinely enjoy this. When it was first played on the first of five interminable nights at San Remo, I'm like, okay, this is one that I could totally get behind. And I found it catchy. I found it engaging, which I think is going to be really good in a situation where she's going to be needing to connect with televoters. But it also carries a significant enough message. It's not just, you know, let's all dance and be happy. It's let's all recognize that we're feeling bored and isolated and disillusioned with, you know, our youth and our existence. It's a lot more melancholy than I think people give it credit for. It's a very clever song. It's just a departure from what we see from Italy. I understand why it's doing so well in the odds. Part of that is just Italy's general track record. And part of it is that it's not a bad song. It's genuinely pretty good. And it's sung by a fun and engaging artist. You know, last week we were harping on why, or was it last week or the week before that we were harping on why Sweden doesn't bust out of its molds and do something different. And now, yes, Derek, that was you. Yes. Credit where credit is due. And now we see Italy doing something a little bit different, and they should be prized for it. Derek, what do you think?
The song is great. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I'm saying it's good. I'm just saying it's very different from what Italy's expecting.
Which I appreciate. I mean, who would have thought a few years ago they would have sent a rock song? I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
And they won with it. I feel like, I mean, if you call this like sort of an upbeat pop song, even if you ignore the lyrics and just kind of like, if you're hearing it and it's Italian, you don't understand, you know instantly it's Italian. Like there isn't a question there, even if the musical styling is more Colombian. And it's just so well done. Like they put so much thought and care into their music to a degree that is kind of shocking compared to some other songs at this contest that feel very flat in comparison. Like it's just so rich and textured musically, vocally, stylistically. It's doing a lot of things and it's doing them well. And that's why people like Italy. I don't think people were expecting Soldi to do terribly well, and it very nearly won the whole thing. And I feel like this is a song that could do something like that, could kind of fly under the radar, do exceptionally well with the jury and the televote, not win in either category, but do well enough in both that they could average out and either come like second or even just take the whole thing. I'm not ruling it out. And it's consistently at the top of a lot of people's lists. Not number one, but like up there to more often than a lot of other songs, I think. So could I see this winning? Yeah, I think this has a shot at it. Probably more than a few other songs that are near the top right now. I personally really, really like it. I think it's super catchy. I really like there's a melancholy cynicism to the story that's happening as well. Like it's kind of lulling you into a false sense of security and happiness when the reality is much harsher than that. I can't fault this. Do we have the 3-minute version of this?
I think so. I think the original version was only like 3:10. I think it was only like one.
Yeah.
A line just cut out of like a second chorus or something like that.
Okay.
It's very subtle change.
Yeah. Okay. And sometimes that kind of hurts it, but I don't think in this case it was. Overall, I mean, it's just it's quality. Even if you don't like it, you kind of have to just acknowledge that this is a quality entry.
Agreed. I feel the same way. I was just. The thing is that you sent me the list of songs that I need to check, and I knew that I must start with Italy because they always deliver, and they did. They delivered, again. It's way different from anything that I have expected from Italy, again, but I don't even know what to expect from Italy because they're so different each year. But it's always with so much attention to detail and so much care and love for the art of it. I truly believe the artistry in this, and I'm so, so thankful for that because as an artist, I got to do so much for the sake of getting numbers or radio or whatever. I know what it's like to do something for just because, you know, you have to do it type of thing. Here, I do not see it. I see them having fun with it. I see them being artistic. I don't see anything but love for the project from everything, even the music video. It's so smart. It's so beautiful. Love the looks. Love her. I don't know how she sings live, so I need to check that out. But I watched the video a few times and it was beautiful. I loved every part of it. I loved her. And more so, I'm excited to see how she's going to prosper and how her career is going to skyrocket after Eurovision. What she's going to do after Eurovision is what I'm interested in rather than the show itself. Because we know she's in the final. She's Italy, right? But I just truly cannot wait for her to get the opportunity to work with even better people in the industry and to grow as an artist. She's so young, so beautiful. And I truly want to meet her. I want to meet her and write something with her because she seems like a really talented person to write with and to be around with. So, yeah. 12 points to Italy.
Okay. And Angelina, if you're listening, Chris is...
That's binding.
Let's make this happen.
Yeah.
Also, quick U-turn. I told you I don't know anything about this year's Eurovision.
That's okay.
You were talking about Switzerland, and I quickly, while I was on the phone right now, because I decided to check the song, and oh my God, I think Switzerland's going to win. Like, they might win.
For the sake of the show, I'm great with that. For the sake of like Eurovision history, amazing. I'd be great with that. For the sake of my wallet.
Yeah.
Should I sell my left kidney or my right kidney?
Yeah, I get it, but like I truly think he might win.
Nemo actually goes by they/them pronouns, so they might win.
Think that they might win.
I'd be down
with solid, that. A solid top three for me for sure. And I don't even know a top three. I just know that they are in my top.
That's
100%.
Totally fair.
I even listened to it very quietly while you were speaking because I was listening to you guys and listening to the song. Oh my God!
Yeah.
Were
you listening to the live performance or were you listening to the studio version?
The studio version. I'm pretty sure he can do it live. They can do it live. I'm sorry. They can do it live.
Yeah.
They can.
It's amazing. It's great. Wow. Cannot wait to see it.
Yes.
Good luck, Switzerland.
All right.
Danny, don't win. We don't want to go broke. Don't win, but good luck.
Or like host it on a city somewhere near the border so I could stay on the French side, save some money. Yeah.
Or just win and give another country a chance to, host it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Danny, have we heard your thoughts on Italy yet?
No.
Let's hear
it. And you never will. Next song. I'm gonna start out my review by saying Eric, what are you smoking? Like, I don't what's going on over there? This is so obviously
I said there might be something wrong with me. I think I'm the only one. It's just that's really good. I don't see why it's so high up. I wish
there was a better English word for like a more potent word than cheeky, because like cheeky is as close as we get, but it's like this is so much more knowingly like eye rolling, but without being like caustically sarcastic,
like saucy.
It's Yeah, but saucy is like, ooh, you saucy little boy. Like, it's what is this? This is so playful. It's so charming. It's so it has an energy behind it that is so like Olivia Rodrigo-esque, without really having that rock edge to it. Like, how can you resist her when she's just like so slack jawed and dancing so weird and telling you, "Hey, come on, it's the boredom dance now." Italy has a system to choose quality songs. They, ever since coming back, they've never sent anything that's absolute garbage, unless it's, three guys singing opera pop and everyone's mom calling in and giving them 12 points. Maybe that. But like, there's this. I feel like this is objectively great. This is perfect pop song. Like, this is not an anthem. We're not going for any huge prestige winner. This feels as natural a pop song, yet as high quality as like Måneskin. Like, this feels like it's got that touch to it. This is very genuine from an artist who didn't write this to win Eurovision. They wrote it to have a real cheeky little song. It works for me.
I agree with this. I couldn't agree more. What you said, written not to win but to have fun with it. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so grateful. I just appreciate when artists do that, when they just have fun with their art, because this is what we do this for. And I truly appreciate it, and I like that people like it too. It just gives more space for next generations and next artists on Eurovision to have more fun with it and not have like this Eurovision winner type of song.
Soldi did great. This will do great, too, I'm pretty sure.
All right. Are we ready to move on to our next song then? All right. So let's hop over to our next entry. Let's chat about Portugal. This is Grito or Scream by Yolanda. Let's hear a clip. Peço a estrela mãe que faça o dia nascer de novo. Transformai cada verso de mim e entrega a coragem que ainda. All right, so that was a snippet of Grito or Scream by Yolanda from Portugal. She's 29 years old from a small coastal city not too far from Coimbra. She studied songwriting at the British and Irish Institute of Modern Music at the University of Sussex in the UK. She was a participant in a number of vocal talent shows in Portugal, like Uma Canção para Ti, Ídolos, the local version of Idols, The Voice, with really only sort of middling success. Would make it to like a semifinal round or would make it to a televised round, but not really progress much further. But she became a bit more known as a songwriter and composer. She actually had a song in Festival de Canção, the national final, back in 2022 as a composer and co-author. She released her first EP in 2023 and was invited by the Portuguese broadcaster to write a song for Festival de Canção this year, which she won quite handily. She will be in semifinal one, performing second to last between Australia and Luxembourg. This is Grito. I guess it kind of does fall to me, being the in-house Portugal stan, I guess. I didn't really make any sort of secret that I really do love this one. It's quiet, it's melancholy, and it's evocative in a way that a lot of Portuguese entries do tend to be, you know, regardless of the language that they sing. And we know that they tend to sing in Portuguese almost always. But there's, even beyond the lyrics, I feel like it's very evocative of what the lyrics are still trying to evoke, that sort of breaking through of past trauma and moving forward with your life, even though those traumas are still very present. And it's really quite beautiful that if you don't speak Portuguese, but you still are able to follow along with the lyrics, that sort of repeated indar, it still burns. I found it to be really quite beautiful. And it rises and it grows in a really beautiful and organic way to that final push with that final scream, that final kind of belt note that felt really very raw and honest. And you can really tell that this is a song that is being performed by the songwriter. This is, you know, which is something that I like about Portugal, is that they do really put a focus on the songwriter rather than just here's some songs. It's a craft focused. I know that I might be a little biased because I come in understanding the language, but I think this is beautiful. Derek, keep me from rambling anymore. What do you think of it?
No.
Oh, you want me to keep rambling? I will.
Oh, what the hell?
I like that you have to point out that you are in-house Portugal stan, as if we ever had to outsource it.
Let's check on the free range Portugal stans. So we were talking about Albania earlier and kind of what Albania was and what it became. And I feel like this is what I'm talking about when I mean keep it in your own language and the message will come through if it's good. Like if the quality of the song is there, you'll understand. Like watching a play in another language, you can figure it out. You can follow along. This is a play podcast now.
This is a high art. Yeah.
This is a theater podcast.
Yeah.
Well, when Molière wrote this, I don't know what else to say about it. I think Sam, you're exactly right. The thing that really strikes me about this is it feels very traditional and yet very modern at the same time. And that's such a fine thing to do, especially with that staging, which feels oddly almost German in its simplicity. I don't know if that's what they're going to go with, but just listening to it just feels like it's reaching way back in the history of Portuguese music. And it has that longing and that sorrow, which is really gorgeous. But at the same time, it doesn't feel dated. It feels very fresh and very interesting and very still emotionally very raw. And I think that's what makes it work. It just feels so earnest and so genuine. I mean, they can't all be like this, but I wish they were.
Chris, what do you think?
I totally agree with everything said. I think Portugal are, I don't want to I don't like saying, oh, every time they deliver, because that kind of makes you think that I don't appreciate the effort every time with the artists. But for example, Maro, I loved her so much. Saudade, Saudade is one of my absolute favorite songs. Not Eurovision songs, period. Like, I just love the song so much. I listen to it a lot. What's the name of the song again? This one? Scream, right?
It's Grito. Scream.
Grito,
yeah.
Okay. Truly one of my favorites. I don't think it's going to win, but I think it's going to be in the top five for sure. I hope it will be there because it is so honest, so pure, so I don't know what else to add to whatever you said, because like you put your words so beautifully and I don't want to ruin it basically, because I totally agree with everything you guys said. So just sign my name under your awards and that's what I think about. It's beautiful. 10 out of 10. I love it.
You get a co-writing credit. I got it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I was in the studio, I swear.
You know, Chris saying that this is going to come top five provides a good segue for me because...
you hate it, don't you? You
no.
Hate it.
Well, no. Because in an ideal world, this would be in the top five. But unfortunately, we have to deal with Chris here. We call them...
Finland! I'm sorry.
The general public. And unfortunately, we have to deal with real people who have no brains. This should be this should be a shoe-in for to go through.
I strongly disagree with you, because then how did I get the second place though? So you think that if I got the second place and everyone is stupid, did you just call me
it's the competition that we love and hate.
Yeah. Måneskin won. They were a great deserved that victory. And many people that are great, they're consistently in the top five, or let's say top seven, eight type of territory. Usually we see great acts there. Winners is a... I don't talk about winners because I have strong opinions about those. I love Lorraine. I think she did.
Good thing you came on a podcast.
I love Lorraine. I think she did an amazing job last year. I was Team Lorraine. I wasn't for Finland. I am strongly against it. I'm sorry. I know it's party. I know it's great. Many people said that, oh my God, Christian, you're just like Finland. They were the real winner. I'm like, first of all, Salvador deserved the victory. Don't say that I'm the real winner. You put them down. I don't want to be used as a way of saying like, oh, this one did not deserve the victory. No, they did. They won for a reason. They did deserve it. Let's respect that. So I think I don't agree with the second place. I wouldn't put them on the second place, but people loved it, so I should shut up. People loved it for a reason. There is a reason why people love it so much. I don't get it. I still don't get it. Never did, never will. I'll talk about this year's Finland more because that's what we're talking about. But yeah, I don't agree with you with the take that people don't understand it. I get what you're saying, but I can't agree with that.
I feel they're gonna get it. It's impossible to not get a song like this that's sung like this.
I think Danny's coming from a place of a defense mechanism. He's basically we last year were the group of us were in love with this song from Latvia called Sudden Lights the band was called Sudden Lights, Aya, and it was so beautiful and we were like, this is almost too beautiful, we have to steal our hearts. So we know that it's going to get broken. If it does, great, great. If it doesn't, then we've prepared ourselves for heartbreak. I think that's maybe
the sort
where
of
he's
thing
going
where
from.
It's like we can love it, but at the end of the day, it comes down to you have the screen in front of you and you are awarding points. Are you going to give a lot of points to Poland when it is performing in the same contest as Croatia's song this year, as Ukraine's song this year, as Slovenia and Cyprus's and Serbia's songs these? Like, it's that's just the way that it goes. Like, ideally this would be wonderful, but there are so many I'm not going to call them distractions because I love me some of those distractions, but yeah, no. Portugal is, by the way, 4 for 4 in Eurovision countries that are gonna do their own thing. 4 in a row. Portugal is the most of any of them, really. But like, I can only voice what I will say is fear that this song will not get what it deserves.
Eric?
Yeah. No, I don't have a ton to it. I mean, I think you guys, I think you got it. To quote Martin Scorsese, memes of Martin Scorsese, this is cinema, is what this is. It's art. It's, oh man. What the little niche that Portugal has kind of carved out for itself over the last, well, since since Salvador, really. And they've always kind of done their own thing. But in the last half decade or so, they've really just sent the most beautiful stuff over and over and over again. I didn't like the one they picked for 2020. That's the only one in a long time of theirs that I didn't think was just wonderful. What they send is art, and what they send is great. This is no exception. I agree that there's just sort of a fear that it might not do well because it's a little more highbrow, maybe. But on, you know what? Beautiful Mess was a great, wonderful song, Danny. And I thought that it was great, Danny. Yeah, Danny.
Yes. All right, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of here.
Yeah, before this breaks out into a fist fight.
Ooh.
So, all right. So let's see here. What do we have coming up next? Ah, here's another little bit of a fun one to talk about. Talking about countries that are going to do what they're going to do, no matter what.
Oh, God.
Let's talk about San Marino. Here is Nagata with 11-11. Derek, play a clip. All right, that is a snippet from the San Marinese song from this year, the band Megara with the song 11-11. I'm not sure if it's proper to call it 11-11 or 11-11, 12-12. But they are a four-piece band formed in Madrid, Spain back in 2015. They've since released three studio albums, a whole bunch of EPs. They're best known for their participation in last year's Benidorm Fest, so the Spanish National Final. They came in fourth place. They then hopped over to San Marino, as we all know. They have an open border national final. They gave it a shot and ended up with the win. They will be in semifinal two, sandwiched in between the Latvian and Georgian entries this year. All right, Derek, start us off. What do you think about 11-11?
You mean Latvia and Spain?
Oh, that's right. Latvia, Latvia followed by Spain, followed by Georgia, because the songs that are automatic qualifiers will get to be performed, but not actually in the running. But we know that. Derek, what do you think?
Oh my God, why did he deserve this? So here's the thing, and this is just kind of my reaction to this. I quite liked Arcadia from last year. I thought it was really interesting and dynamic, and it tried a lot of different things. There's a piece of advice they give to novelists when they're writing their first novel, and that is don't put all your ideas into the first book, because then you won't have anything for the second. And it kind of feels like with Arcadia, they really just went for it. They're just like threw everything at the wall to see what sticks, and it's weird, and it just jumps all over the place, and it's kind of crazy, and I think it kind of works most of the time. This one just kind of has that bitterness to it. If you look at the lyrics, they're very clearly like, if you don't like us here, we're going to go where we're wanted. And it's almost a little too on the nose given the circumstances. And that feels kind of like a distraction to me. Even if you don't, like, if you know that, it could hurt it. But, you know, if you don't know that, it's fine. I think the song is catchy and it's fun. I haven't seen them perform live, but I know they perform live in the past. So I think their San Marinese national final performance was not indicative of what we're going to finally see. It's a fine rock song. It's San Marino's kind of become the island of misfit toys of Eurovision. And it's kind of every year, I just have no clue what they're going to send or what's going to happen. It feels like I made a little bit of a safer choice with this one, but I mean, we'll see. Not a whole lot to say about it.
Now, Chris, what do you think?
I don't like it. I don't really want to talk about it. I just don't like it. In fact, I even had to stop it while I was listening to it because I had, I'm staying at my friend's apartment right now in New York, right? And I was playing it and she didn't like it as well. So it wasn't only me. And she was like, what are you listening to? I do not like it. Like, what is this? Why are you listening to it? And I was like, yeah, me too. I don't get it too. Like, I'm not a fan of that. So I don't even have an opinion about it. I loved them. I loved the group last year because I was at Benidorm Fest. I love what they did then. I liked it. It was fun. Didn't like it again. I liked them. I didn't like the song. I liked their vibe. I liked their style. I like how it's all pink and black and it's rock. It's fun. It's fun. It's festive. I do not like it. I would mute it. I don't like it.
Woof.
Yeah, I just don't like it. I don't find it interesting. It's just loud. Yeah.
Yeah. What else to say? Danny, what do you think?
So I'm coming from a place where I'm not really familiar with the, you know, the backstory, like a lot of the Eurovision watching public will be. They might be passingly familiar with, you know, I'm hearing Spanish, so they would probably might remember that they, you know, were also Rancid Benidorm, that they have this history with the contest, that this is a second attempt. I'm only the most passingly familiar with those things. And as someone who has not looked up the English lyrics, and who is always ready to hop to San Marino's defense, I love this song. I think this song is a ton of fun. I think this song sounds like the kind of stuff that a bunch of my friends would have been listening to in like 2005. And I say that lovingly. I don't think this sounds fromagey or moldy. I think that this is throwback and it sounds legitimate. It sounds convincingly like a love letter to that kind of music from the time. I don't want to say anything more or it's just going to be used against me in a court of law. Eric?
I like it. I kind of can't believe I like it, but I do. It is...
Yeah, tell me more.
Okay, I'll tell you more. Right from the get-go, one of the songs that reminds me of, I cannot believe I'm about to say this, is some of the stuff from Lady Gaga's Art Pop album, the one that was really weird.
I can feel less pop, more rock. I can hear it. Yeah, applause a little bit.
With some of the like more electronic little interludes and the things like that some of the songs on that album had. It reminds me a little bit of that. Obviously, this is more of a rock band than a pop thing. But at the same time, it has some of those things that it has a very pop structure. You know, it has the beats on the twos and fours, and it has the big chorus that you can kind of sing along to.
What are we calling this? Is this power punk? Is this power pop? What are we looking at here?
I would say like. The other thing that I think I like about it is the some of the instrumental pieces feel very industrial influence. So I would almost say like industrial pop or something wow. like that.
Yeah, it's Tool, but I can dance to it.
That's prog metal, and you know it. It has some of those industrial elements, but it is still like a pop rock song. And I cannot believe that I just like San Marino. This is going to sound negative, and I suppose it is. Sometimes you just kind of stumble into something pretty good, and I feel like that's what we got this time. And yeah, the national final performance is rough, but it was Una Voce per San Marino, so like, what do you want? I think they will benefit from having a big stage and getting to do. I'm guessing there's going to be pyro and some of these other things. I think their stage presence is going to be really good, and I think that this could surprise. Not like
I'm
top.
I'm so glad that you like it because we get to experience different sides of, you know, what we like and what we don't like. Because I dislike it and I don't even know why, because I find it difficult to find what I would like about it, you know. And it's so interesting how different we are about our opinions, because it's nice that we have our favorites, but it's also nice that there is something that I could not listen to like at all that you like. And I think that's the beauty of Eurovision, because we get to experience different qualities of music, and to each its own, right? I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm just saying that I don't like it. I'm not even saying that it's bad. I'm saying that I do not like
it. It's very loud. You know,
it's very loud. It's very busy. I just don't find it.
It's a lot.
Busy is a totally fair word.
But you said Lady Gaga. I love Lady Gaga busy. Yeah. You see, like, this is where I was like, oh, yeah, it kind of does sound like Lady Gaga. But Lady Gaga is iconic to me. Like, I love her so much. She's like one of my absolute favorite artists ever. Lady Gaga is a legend, a true legend. I love her. Yeah. And this kind of reminds me of her, but not enough for me to like it, kind of.
Sure.
But good luck to San Marino, regardless. No, good luck to them. Because I like their energy. They seem like nice people. I talk with them a little, I think. They seem like really nice people. I just really don't like the song. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's all. Like you said, that's kind of the beauty of it. It's all good. This is, song is just, it's a lot. But like, listen to the, this is not directed at anyone in particular, but I guess listening at home. Listen to the very, very beginning when there's a and then the music kicks in or whatever. That's that specifically, like, reminded me of like Applause or something from that era. And then it takes more of a turn, obviously. But defying all odds, I quite enjoy San Marino. Sam Marino, what do you got?
There are bits and pieces of this that I am drawn to. I love the attitude. I love, you know, the vibe that's sort of defiant. Like, I dare you not to like this, which, you know, people will, people won't. But I think the entire message of the song is that we don't really care. We're just going to do what we want to do. At one point, I was thinking to myself, this is just doing too much. If you look at either the music video or the live version where you have, it's chaos. It's a lot. It's maximalist. And part of me was thinking, if they, you know, stripped it back a little bit, this could be better. And I'm like, no, at the same point, like, that's not the point of this song or this act. It's supposed to be, you know, a water cannon to the face of just giving you color and guitar and attitude and snarling and pink and black and dancing skeletons, because why the hell not?
And not just guitar, like classical,
like
guitar.
Flamenco, like random, like
that bridge goes so hard.
It's like, you
I'll
know
add
what
that as well. So
they decided just to go, like, you know what, Spain, you didn't want us last year. They actually say, like, oh, we lit up Benidorm. They actually have a lyric in the song talking about Benidorm, which I'm like, that's really, really pointed. It's like, oh, you didn't want us last year? Fine. We're going to be more Spanish than Spain this year. And it's while the song isn't my favorite, I get what they're doing. The problem, I mean, when it comes to musically, though, like, I'm distracted in the sense that I am reminded of Emma Marrone's song at Eurovision 2014, La Mia Città. The chorus brings me back to that, and I think I preferred Emma's a little bit more. It still had that defiance in the face of naysayer kind of vibe. I'd rather listen to Emma, but I get where this is coming from. I don't hate this. I'm going to be entertained wildly when I'm watching this, but there are many other songs that I would rather listen to.
Well, Danny and I, you and I can start the San Marino Club, I guess. That's fine.
Yeah. Are we ready? Yeah. Are we ready for our last song here? You know, depends.
Is it Finland?
Yes.
Oh, God.
A nice, subtle, quiet, unassuming little entry from Finland. Derek, let's roll a clip of Windows 95 Man, No Rules. No rules! All right. Last song, Windows 95 Man, No Rules. He is 38 years old from Espoo. His real name is Teemu Keisteri, a visual artist as well as DJ. He's released two EPs so far, including one called Epic Tax Party. So I both enthralled and scared to dive into that one once we're done recording here. The song also features vocals by Henri Pispanen. There were some rules enhanced on this one. He will still be allowed to be called Windows 95 Man. However, no logos will be available to be, you won't be able to see the logos. They're going to blur those out. Who knows what they'll actually do on stage. So yeah, some rules. This will be in semifinal one, sandwiched in between Slovenia and Moldova. So Chris, we were talking about maximalist and over the top and crazy with San Marino. Dare I ask what your thoughts are on Finland?
Listen, I find beauty in the most simple things. I can find beauty in the plain blue sky. I can even find beauty in, like, walking on the streets of New York and looking at trash cans that look sort of aesthetically pleasing to me, that I think, oh, that could be a Balenciaga campaign right there. Like, just some fun sort of artistic take on trash with Balenciaga. That could be done, and I could see that being beautiful. I do not see this beautiful. I do not know what people like about it. I do not know how they keep on sending ridiculous artists. Listen, I like them. I think they have cute personalities. I think they're nice people. I do not like the stage performance. I do not like the song. I cannot even call it a song. I think they're trying to be ridiculous for the sake of being ridiculous. And they're like, how far can we push the narrative of being loud and just ridiculous? That's the only way I could describe it. And I find it sad in a way, because there are people who put their, I mean, yeah, it's just a, we should treat Eurovision as a festival, not as a competition when you partake in it. Because I told you that I wish I enjoyed it more and wasn't so focused on winning it, right? So to other contestants, I hope that they just enjoyed it and not think about the, you know, what place they're going to end up with. But I find it a bit sad that I know for a fact that this is going to do really well on the voting, because that just puts, because imagine we talked so highly of Portugal or Italy, right? Or like we have Switzerland. I can't see this qualifying higher than them, all of them. I can't even see this winning. And this just makes it a bit sad to me personally. I still don't, can you explain to me in a few words why last year's Finland performance was so highly loved and appreciated by all? I do not understand it. I find it ugly and annoying in a way. I don't know. I don't get it. And all of my friends were like, oh, this is the winner. And when Loreen won, many friends of mine were sad and they said that it was rigged. I was like, how can you even compare the two? One is greatness, beauty, art perfected. Like, her artistry is perfection. She perfected her craft. She is, like, if you look at humans, right, she is a top 1% of human capability. She's insane. What she does with her voice and her body it's insane. It's beauty. It's pure. It's talent. And then people are mad and saying that it's rigged, that Finland should have won. Can you explain why this is an occurring theme where crazy equals good?
I nominate Derek to answer this question.
Okay. Go, Derek.
Oh, I'm last this time around.
Okay,
so I'll wait my turn.
Okay,
so yeah, I'll take this up. I can't answer your question, Chris. It's probably a combination of anti-Swedish sentiment. I think we have to acknowledge that that's a healthy amount of it, and just the idea that it's a song style that's not represented a lot at Eurovision. That kind of thing. That sort of thing is always very galvanizing, especially when it's sung by an extremely charismatic performer such as Carrie. I couldn't be more disappointed in Finland for sending this year. I think that this song is obviously a piss take. I think that this song is just a stunt. I think that this is a joke entry that is just there to be silly. I don't think it has any legs outside of being a kind of protest or a middle finger at what it perceives to be a sort of self-inflated, yeah, pompous sort of Eurovision.
This is how I feel too. Yeah.
A song can be a joke entry like this and sort of still, I don't know, be a pleasant song to listen to, or sort of actually be like winkingly saying something under the surface.
Like last year's, but, right? I sort of get it. I didn't like it, but I get it. And it was.
But under the surface of this, there's no substance. It's just a joke. It's so flimsy. It's not something I like, Eric.
As far as no rules goes, I completely agree with Chris. I just don't think there's anything to it. I find it frustrating. I understand that, like, it is silly, but like Cha-Cha-Cha had a theme, sort of a message to it, and I don't think this does. I mean, the second singer, Henry Busy Pants, was, you know, saying like, oh, is there something wrong with the way I look, or am I is there something like that, and like that is a decent message, but just we live with no rules doesn't really even line up with that. I also feel like there is something just really kind of tragic, almost emasculating to me about how there's this song about no rules and he has to censor the logo. Like there's something about that to me that just adds even more dissonance to just this supposed concept that they're going with. Like, he's going to sing for 3 minutes about how he only has one rule and it's no rules. Oh, why is this blurred? Don't worry about it. Like I think that is a detriment to the presentation, honestly. I think I said when this won that I just wish that this song was like 3 minutes, 30 seconds and they refused to shorten it, or just something. I don't know. I don't think it works. I think it's, you go back and listen to like our joke song episode, and I talked about how like this qualifies as a joke song because it's not taking it seriously on any axis at all. Chris, I'm just curious, what do you think of Give That Wolf a Banana from a couple years ago?
I loved it. It was one of my favorites.
Yes.
It was one of my favorites. It was on my top five. Because that cool. was good. That was a joke, but it was nicely done. It had taste to it. It was funny.
Taste.
It was intelligent. It was intelligent. It was smart. It was fun, but also kindly fun, you know? And it was a nice pop song that wasn't even trying hard to be a good song. It was just a fun pop song.
All right, I'm going to yield my time because I cannot wait to get to Derek on this. So Sam, go. Sam, make it quick.
All right, I'll try to be quick. yeah, I mean, like a lot of people were thinking, okay, this is just Caria 2.0, but this is just absolute law of diminishing returns. It's you can't capture lightning in a bottle again. And I feel like this takes all of the organic fun of Cha-Cha-Cha and just makes it, it's overbaked. It's over. It's by trying to be a rebel, you somehow become a pastiche of the rebellion, and it doesn't work. And I loved the YouTube mini movie Kung Fury. It's the sort of late 80s, early 90s pastiche of bad kung fu movies, and you know, guy travels back in time with a triceratops in order to kick the crap out of Hitler, and he goes through time on like by hacking into his computer, and it's crazy. And I feel like this is the lost soundtrack to Kung Fury. But that movie, that short, which if you haven't seen, it's so stupidly ridiculous and wonderful, but it's taking itself so seriously in not taking itself seriously. And I'm both enthralled by this in just like the sheer depths of the lunacy, and I'm also just sort of looking at it from behind a pillow. The first time that I was in Malmö, I learned a word, skönskuda, in Swedish, which means the feeling of wanting to watch something from behind a pillow, and that sort of cringy, like, I can't look at this full on or else I'm somehow part of this. Skönskuda, that's the word that I think about this. Skönskuda? It's a great word.
That's a very interesting phrase.
It's perfect.
Sam, what was the context in which you learned that word?
Do you remember? The first time that we saw the Ukrainian presentation in Malmö in 2013. So when we had Igor, the late Igor Bobkovitsky, bringing the singer, literally carrying her onto the stage.
Right.
That was, it was an incredible moment, but it was also sort of awkward. Yeah.
Minnesota legend.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a train wreck. I can't watch it, but I can't look away. Derek, what do you think? You love it, don't you?
I mean, it's all right.
What do you know? I'm disappointed.
So here's the thing. Listen to all your comments, and I feel like I have to defend this now.
Just the honor of it.
Well, here's the thing. So you're kind of conflating two different things in your review, and I don't necessarily agree with that, and I just want to point it out. Number one, you're kind of acting like, oh, they're just, you know, taking the piss out of it, and they're there to give a big middle finger to the whole thing. They didn't choose to go to Eurovision. They were selected to go. So any issue you have with why they're here, you can take it up with the general public.
Oh, I say Finland. I don't say artists. I said I like the artists. Okay. They're fine, and I think they're fun, charismatic, and interesting people, and I would love to have a talk with them. Yeah. I do not like the song, and I do not like that they chose the song. Like that Finland chose the song. I like the guys. I think they're fun.
Okay. I'm not attacking you personally. I'm just sort of saying it kind of becomes this question of, okay, well, we could have a conversation about why the Finnish public chose this, and maybe they chose it for themselves. Why did Spain choose Zora? I don't think they have any delusions of grandeur on that song. They know they're coming near the bottom, but they wanted to send it. Like, this is what represents us. And I can disagree with it all day long, but I can't tell them how to vote. It's not even my country. I'm not even Finnish. And I feel like this conversation comes up every year, like, oh, why did they choose this garbage? And it's like, I don't know. I don't know why they chose it, but they did. This is what we got. So we got to review the song we have. And yes, there were other songs in the final I was really rooting for. I think I mentioned Pascana several times. I listened to that again the other day, and I was like, God, this song is really good, and I'm never going to hear it again. And that song was, you know, genuine and sincere and all that. I think you can't. Well, I'm going to get weird here. So Roger Ebert always said when he was reviewing movies, and this is something I always remember when I'm critiquing anything, it's not what it's about, it's how it's about it, is kind of the ultimate way to look at something. And this isn't about anything. Like, it's not making a statement. It's not trying to be serious in any way, shape, or form. Oh, it's supposed to be no rules, but there are rules. It's like, I don't think they care about that at all. I think all the lyrics are intentionally cliched, motivational lyrics that you hear in hundreds of songs. The fact that he says, it's the wind beneath my wings.
Good Lord. Yeah.
and that anyone would like listen to this and think, oh, they're really trying to say something with this. No, they're not.
No.
I don't think they had any intention of going, honestly. I think they were just like, we're just gonna go, we're gonna have fun, we're gonna do this dumb song, and we're gonna do okay, and then we're gonna go home and we're never gonna think about this again. And for some reason, everyone just felt like, you know what, we had a rough year last year, let's just screw around, let's have some fun with this. And I honestly think they could use a year off to just not care. I honestly, if this song could come dead last, and I don't think it would bother anybody. I don't think this has any chance at winning.
I understand what you mean. I kind of see that.
Yeah. So I'm not saying I agree with it, but I can't fault them for just having fun and being silly. Mm. And honestly, musically, I find it kind of catchy. And I wholly acknowledge that it's just the dumbest thing.
It is.
I must say, Cha 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 was stuck in my head for a bit.
I mean, yeah. I'd say this song gets stuck in my head sometimes. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, what am I doing? It's a Krispy Kreme donut of a song.
Mm, yeah.
I like Krispy Kreme donuts. I don't like this. It gets stuck in my head too. It's crazy. It is an earworm. On top of everything else, just musically, I don't really care for it either. It's just very hyperactive. And
he just can't reach those high notes. Henry just, it sounds like he's straining for the high notes, which granted, maybe that's also part of it.
It's like a fun silly karaoke night.
That's fair. And that's a great image to keep in mind as I'm listening to it. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, I love the idea, the narrative that like they weren't trying to get to Eurovision and now they have to do it. And and with that in mind, I kind of hope it wins.
Right. When he said that, I was like, wait, that's kind of fun. That's kind of like a movie worthy type of situation. Yeah. Like, we didn't even want to do it. We just did it for fun.
Again, I'm going to throw back to our first preview episode with our dear friend Roy, who wrote an entire book about what would happen if Moldova accidentally won the contest.
Oh, it's gonna happen.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So yep.
They're absolutely gonna back into a win somehow at some point. It's gonna happen.
Oh my god.
Yeah. All right. Well, have we all spoken our piece on Finland? Are there any last thoughts before we have our little wrap up?
I have something to say.
Ooh, please do.
Yes.
Bring it.
I just wanna make it clear that I have absolutely nothing against the artists. It's just the fact that I take my job very, very seriously, and I love art so fucking much that I cannot wait to see something that's gonna shock me in a good way. So I love the guys. I watched a few videos of their interviews. I think they're super funny. I think they're very interesting people. I would love to hang out with them. I just take it, you know, because I was there on that stage and I took it so seriously. Maybe that's my problem too. But this is why you have me on the show, right? To put my opinion on the table.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no,
I was on the stage and I took it so seriously. It meant so much to me. And to see people who just like, maybe that's why I don't like it this much, because they just don't care. Maybe that's the beauty of it, that they don't care as much as I did. And I should learn from that and maybe do something similar, but not to that extent. So I
look
like
forward to your cover of No Rules.
Like, I just don't like the song. At all, and the performance like one bit.
I think it goes without saying, like, whenever we say something critical about a song, or it's specifically about the song or an arrangement, it's never about the individual
in
person
any way, shape, or form. No. It's just about this very performance, this very song. That's all. Yeah. I meant. Again, Kadia, I think great artist, very charismatic, do not like the song, but at least it was catchy. At least I understand the hype of the song being played again and again, because it's, you know, cha 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 cha, it's fun.
All right, so our traditional way that we wrap these episodes up is we go around and say first our least favorite of the week. I can probably predict how this might go, but you know, just for the sake of ceremony. Yeah. And then we'll go around and say, leave on a high note, what is our top number one favorite of the week? Chris, as our honored invited guest, we'll let you start. What was your least favorite of the six? I hate to believe.
Definitely Portugal. No, I'm kidding. Of course, it's Finland. I'm sorry. I do not like it. I said everything.
Danny.
It's Finland.
Eric.
Finland, but I honestly kind of gave a bit of thought to Albania as well. I like the song more, but it's just not as interesting, I guess. Like, as much as I don't like Finland,
not as interesting to hate.
It's not. Finland at least has like absolute incredible crazy weirdness to it, and I wish Albania was more interesting, but no. I'm picking Finland.
And I'm also going to echo Eric's sentiments that Finland is the bottom for me. However, I'm at least enthralled by it. Albania just kind of leaves me a little bit cold.
I kind of agree with that.
And Derek?
I'm going with Albania.
Fair enough.
There we go.
All right. Now let's leave it on a high note. Chris, what was your number one favorite of this week?
It's really hard to pick because I love Portugal and I love Italy. So I do not know how to pick one, but I have to. So I'll go with a more... Let's go Italy. Because I think I'm really excited to see where her career is going to take her. So I'll say Italy.
All right. Danny?
Italy for me too, for sure.
Eric?
I'm going to go Portugal, and I can't believe I also considered San Marino. But Portugal. Portugal. Portugal's so good. Speaking of Portugal, I haven't poured out a one in a while. I want to give a quick shout out to Nena's Teorias da Conspiração, which was like... fifth or sixth in the final or something like that. Absolutely gorgeous, pure heartfelt ballad, peak Portugal to me. I love that one, but nothing was going to deny this. It's very, very good.
Please, send me what you talked about on Instagram. Please.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I will do that. Yes.
And for me, my top of the week is Portugal. I've said my piece on it. The first time that I heard it in, its studio version, I got a little weepy and I still feel my throat welling up whenever I hear it. So, yep. Portugal. Derek, close us out.
It's Finnish is going to be very good, I think, regardless. Nah. It's Italy.
Ah, smart ass. All right. Certainly not a unanimous decision there, but a really, really great show, everybody. You at home, let us know what you think about our selections this week. What do you think? Are we completely off the mark? Are you totally in agreement? Let us know. You can find us on all the standard social media outlets, 12pointsUSA, or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We've got our merchandise on our Redbubble page. You can support us by a monthly contribution on Patreon. Whether you support us financially or not, we love you either way, but Patreon supporters get exclusive content and early access to episodes. Chris, we cannot thank you enough for joining us, especially taking time out of your trip to New York to chat with us. Where can people continue to follow your career if they're not already doing so?
Thank you very much for the invitation. I had so much fun. Nice to meet you guys. Nice talk. It's been a minute since I talked Eurovision because most of my friends don't really watch it that much. So I had a blast. Thank you so much. About me, just you can find me on any social media. I will try to be more active now because I kind of wrote like two EPs, four EPs, maybe five. I don't know. I have like a bunch of songs that I'm planning to release. You can find me anywhere. I go by my name, Christian Kostov. I have an official verified account everywhere. It's a different name every time, but you will know that it's me. Just write Christian Kostov. You will find me. And on Spotify, I also have Vostok. That's Vostok. You can find my alter ego project there. I appreciate having you here. If you're listening to my music, thank you so much. I have a lot of more coming up soon.
We cannot wait to hear it. And absolute, you are a total friend of the show. You are welcome here whenever you'd like. If your travels bring you back to the US, come out to Minneapolis. We'll bring you over to Paisley Park or somewhere. We'll do some sort of Minnesota music tour.
I would honestly love to. I might come back actually. I will.
Please do.
Yeah, please do.
And you at home, we cannot wait to catch up with you on our next episode. It'll be basically our run through of kind of our wrap up of our previews now that we've gone through all the songs that we were going to cover. We cannot thank you enough for joining us. Until next time, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
I've been Danny.
And I've been Chris.
Yeah. And America.
Stop listening now.
Really quick, Chris, I saw on your Insta story, looks like you saw Dune 2.
I cannot stop talking about Dune. Like my whole personality is Dune 2 now. I am Dune 2. I am, in fact, Kwisatz Haderach, or what do you say? How do you say it? Timothée Chalamet, whatever he became at the end. Like, I'm that.
Cool.